Lauryn Hill, Do Up That Thing. Dermot and Dave on Today FM. Lots of Snapchats in. We're Dermot and Dave on Snapchat. Cleena says, melting in the heat in Kinsale, lads. And she's wearing her running gear, so it's obviously out for a run. Fair play to you. We got a Snapchat in as well from Johnny Baby 620, who was out last night.
Right, went out last night for a few social ones. Had more than a few, but... had a bag of crisps at the end of the night. I just am dying after the crisps.
Yeah, it's definitely the crisps that are doing this.
Yeah,
Johnny.
Did all the damage.
Yeah.
Did you know that only 12 out of Longitude's 47 strong lineup were women? And Forbidden Fruit, only 16% were women. And that's just Irish festivals. Around the world, females, transgender people only make up 17% of headliners in 2016 at all electronic music festivals around the world. It's a pretty surprising statistic. And here to tell us all about it is Rosie Gogan-Kyo, who's head of content at This Greedy Pig, an agency behind something called Move the Needle. What's it about?
So Move the Needle came about when we partnered with Smirnoff earlier this year. They've launched a global pledge to try and double the number of female, transgender and non-binary identifying people on electronic music lineups by festival lineups by 2020. So this is the Irish leg of that initiative, and we worked with them to come up with Move the Needle, which is, I suppose, a two-parter campaign. The first part is a short documentary featuring women from across the electronic music industry within Ireland. So we have DJs, producers, founder of a big electronic music festival. And really what we wanted to learn from them is their passion, their inspiration, why they're in the industry, as well as some of the reasons why it was difficult to get into it, or why maybe there aren't more women into it. And what we want this film to sort of act as is really to help inspire maybe a new wave of female, transgender and non-binary talent, and people who maybe are interested but just haven't yet, you know, got behind a pair of decks. So I suppose the second part of it then is this series of workshops which people who've watched the film are invited to sign up to, and they're happening all around the country this summer.
Let's take a clip from the short film itself. This is a girl called Sally Cinnamon talking about some of the perception issues that she had when she began her career.
Some of my male friends who are really, like, who are good friends now, but I remember starting off and lads saying things to you like, oh, she only get all the gigs because you're a girl. And I remember thinking, I had to make sure that wasn't the case in my head. So I had to make sure I was as good as the boys so that I knew myself. For me, it's like saying music is for boys. It just doesn't make sense. It didn't make sense to me then that there wasn't any other girl DJs.
Yeah, because it is a strange one. I mean, from all your research and talking to everybody, did we find out why there are so few women in the music industry, or particularly electronic music industry in Ireland?
I mean, I think there's a lot of women in the music industry, but I think it's incredibly complex, and it's, you know, that's at every level. So what we were really trying to address with this is at the very grassroots level, getting more women to enter it, because I suppose with electronic music, it's traditionally been seen as male dominated. And from my own experience of growing up with a large group of friends who are interested in this kind of music, a lot of the guys DJed, but it was, you know, we'd always have a joke about it that it was like the lads and their tunes.
Yeah.
And there was no reason why, you know, I don't think anybody would have said anything if a girl had gotten up behind the decks, or if they did, you know, it wouldn't have really meant anything. But, you know, it's still that little perception, and, you know, and that's just a, you know, one element in what's a very kind of vast issue.
Well, yeah, because it's so multi-layered. Like in general, you think about, like, say, the pop charts, right? So outside of electronic music for a second, and you think about all the massive female pop stars. But then when you look into their albums, you look at the gender in the people who are behind the albums. Now, okay, so they're the mouthpiece, they're the singer or whatever it is. But I'm looking at some stats here, say, at the time when Taylor Swift, Meghan Trainor, Kelly Clarkson, Janet Jackson, Selena Gomez and Adele all had albums out, like, the person, say, like, there were 74 men worked on Adele's album and 8 women. You know, I know she wrote most of the songs, but it's just that gender thing seems to apply just across the board in music.
Completely, and that's why we wanted to make sure that we included producers within this film. So people like Sorka McGrath, who's one half of Ships, and she also has her own solo project, Wounded Healer. And she when she was launching the Wounded Healer project, she did absolutely everything. And she says in the film that she wanted to make sure that she did everything so that nobody, even if they just saw like one guy's name on it, nobody could question how much of the technical side of it she was doing. So that's, we included a few producers like that to I suppose inspire others, really.
And do you think promoters are biased when they're booking acts?
I think perhaps there has been a little bit of a blind spot with some people, maybe. And you know, I can't really answer for the people that are booking festivals, but I do know that since this film has come out, we've had a number of bookers at festivals say to us that having watched it, it's actually changed how they now look at their lineups and how they approach booking. So that's, you know, that's a real success for us.
But to be fair to them, like, are there enough female artists in the industry for them? Like if they're picking the most popular or the best or whatever term you want to use to, like, you know, to generate ticket sales, which is their business, right? Like, are they going to be forced to pick a woman because, oh, I got to pick her because I've got to have a woman on my thing? Or is it just like, well, these are the best people, I want to pick them? Like, there's a balance there as well.
Completely. And we're not saying that we want a strict quota put in place, because I don't think any woman of, you know, who's worked really hard wants to feel like she's been put on a lineup.
Like Sally was saying, just because she's a woman. No one wants that.
So I guess that's why we're addressing this from the very, very start of the issue. It's like, if you have more women entering it, then ultimately we hope that will filter through to the other end, that in a couple of years' time there are a more diverse range of women to be booked
it's
on these.
It's like our own radio station here. Like, I mean, like, we often get criticism, most radio stations get criticism leveled at them with the lack of female broadcasters. But when you look at a radio station as a whole, I mean, our boss is a female, Maria, who produces our show, and if you look across all of the shows in Today FM, they're all led by female producers, pretty much. I don't think about the top of my head now. I think every single show is led that way, or maybe Fergal and Ed. So, like, you know, it's one of those things where there's so much happening behind the scenes, as instead of just, as you said, at the very, very forefront of putting a female DJ's name on the bill. It's, you want to start that process so much earlier.
Exactly, and it's industry-wide, as you said. You know, we interview Sarah McBriar, who's founded the AVA Festival up in Belfast, which is an incredible event. So it's you know, not just looking at, as you said, people who are at the sort of face of it. It's everybody involved at every step.
What's the reaction of, say, male DJs when it's pointed out to them that there's a gender imbalance?
Well, I guess the reaction we've gotten is from everybody has been incredibly positive. I think perhaps people have been aware of this for a long time. So, you know, when it's pointed out, it's like, okay, yeah, maybe something does need to be done about this.
Because Sally kind of hinted at that maybe there's an attitude towards female DJs that's hampering them entering or at least staying in the industry.
Yeah, I mean, I think that from interviewing all of these women, you know, most people had an anecdote of some experience within their career when maybe somebody said, oh, as they were getting up to play a gig, are you somebody's girlfriend, or are you just do the lovely singing, you know, not really taking them seriously as DJs or producers. So I suppose that's, you know, everybody had that experience at one point, but it hasn't been the dominant factor.
Right. Really, so tell us about the workshops that are happening. So what kind of stuff goes on there if anyone is listening and wants to get involved?
So we just had the first one down in Galway on Sunday, which was incredible. It was a beautiful sunny day, and I didn't think anybody would want to come along as the sun was shining. But it was completely full. We had an incredible mixture of people, all ages. And how the day works is it's about 4 hours long. We have three different elements. It starts off with a introduction to vinyl turntables, just how to use them. That Ifan Ikana, who's an incredible DJ, teaches that. And then we had an introduction to CDJs. The one in Galway was taught by a woman called Laura O'Connell, who DJs under the name Lols. And then we have an introduction to Ableton and music production with Ellen King, who DJs and produces under the name of Elle.
Brilliant.
And it's supposed to be just a really informal space where people can get up and have a go and ask questions and not feel like they're, you know,
because it does look terrifying sometimes. You know, people go, I love music, but the technology frightens me. There's all these little knobs, and when I see DJs twiddling them, you know, I like, what the hell are they doing? So to break down that, you know, that wall at least is a start, isn't it?
Exactly. It's just about having that first go. And if somebody comes away from it going, that was really fun, maybe I want to pick it up as a hobby, then that's amazing.
And how can people get involved in the workshops? Is there a website they can go to look at the list? Or?
There is indeed. If you go to thisgreedypig.com/movetheneedle, you can sign up there. And we have been absolutely overwhelmed by the response. The people... So we are just accepting people to a waiting list at the moment.
All right.
What we're saying is we will be hosting more events in the future. So please do sign up, and we'll let you know of upcoming events as well, because I think around the country, everybody's just been really taken by this.
Yeah, and you're hitting Belfast, Cork and Dublin. So you're getting out and around the place. Yeah.
And what about the movie itself? Then where can people see that?
You can see that on that website as well.
Oh, okay, so thisgreedypig.com/movetheneedle.
That's the one.
Brilliant. Okay, Rosie Gogan-Kyo, head of content at This Greedy Pig, the agency behind the Move Needle campaign. Thanks for chatting to us.
Thank you.
Now it's time for our homegrown hero, Rosie. I'm sorry to say it's a four-piece band full of lads from Dublin, but they're David, Luke, Rob and Connor. It's a band called Other Kin. The track is called React, supporting brilliant Irish music. It's homegrown hero with Dermot and Dave on Today FM.